Hello and welcome to Stranger Stopping Strangers, podcast number 73. A big welcome back to anybody who's returning and thanks for stopping in to anybody who's new this week. Well, this week I was fortunate enough to talk to three separate deadheads, all of which I met just this past summer on the Dead & Company summer tour. So the first is Steve Dubinsky, the second is Jake Root, and the third is Sherry Gleason. So they were so much fun to all talk to, and in my mind, they made sense because they were all just really strong presence from my adventures around summer 2018 tour. So just all really strong, wonderful people. I met Steve the first time in Mansfield. It was his first day vending, and he was just so welcoming, just to come in, take a load off, hang out, and turned out to just be a really fantastic spot to have as a meeting place. And he makes these amazing clothes, so if anybody's looking for some comfy winter gear or some gifts, you could find Steve Dubinsky's, find him at Grateful Sweats, which is www.gratefulsweats.com. The second person I get a chance to is Jake Root. I became familiar with Jake along with many when he started to do a lot of the streaming from home. He started in fall of 2017 tour. At one point he was up to 15,000 people that were all streaming at once. So, you know, at that time it was closing it down. But, you know, that was just the beginning of Jake's journey because, you know, so many of those people really just, you know, became friends and people whose house he stayed at, and he, you know, was never really alone because he had met so many amazing people that he was able to meet up with and just share the experience. And the final conversation is with Sherry Gleason, and Sherry is just so much fun. She is just such a positive, high energy, smart, wonderful woman. And I met Sherry in Atlanta, and we share that story, which is really pretty funny. Just, you know, talk about our shared passion of live music. And, you know, Sherry is just such a presence for me because, yeah, I was so amazed that she went out on her own in her truck and saw something like 15 shows. I mean, from the Midwest to the Southeast to Saratoga, Midwest, West Coast, and wrapped up in Colorado's. Really incredible. The next thing I would like to say is that, gosh, I was so disappointed with the sound quality. Everybody made a lot of effort to be on a good call, and honestly, it was my connection that was the worst. And I have to say, I really played around with it for a while with different microphones and different earphones, and I make a promise to all the listeners that I'm going to do some extra homework and figure out the best way to get the sound quality really up to par, because, you know, it's so fun talking to these people, and I think everybody enjoys the conversations, but, you know, the sound quality isn't where it needs to be. So that is a big priority for me in the next couple weeks that you will get to hear in the next podcast. And, you know, finally, I'd like to give a shout out to Osiris. Osiris Podcast Network is just this amazing family of podcasts. I'm so grateful to be a part of them. They span from music podcasts to all kinds of culture and comedy and perspective from like-minded people. So if you are looking for some more podcasts to listen to, you can find them at osirispod.com. That's OSIRISPOD.com. Definitely check that out. And the last thing I'm going to say, if you're listening on iTunes and you like the podcast, go ahead and rate it. Really appreciate it. You know, it's good to see the stars and the ratings come in. And I know a lot of people are a little more reminding of this. And so I want to be sure to remind people that if you're listening online and there's a chance to review and you like what you heard, go for it. Give it a review. And as far as the sound quality goes, I know that's not 5 stars, but it's definitely something I'm working on. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope everybody enjoys, and I will catch you one last time for the rest of 2018. Enjoy!
Hey, Fee.
Hi.
I'm glad to be here. Iowa. I'm so happy that you're here. This is so fun. I mean, we met this summer and you were my base camp over at Grateful Sweats for...
Well, it was an amazing summer and it really started for me. Well, it started 3 days before I met you when I left Kansas City to drive in my van to Massachusetts for my first time ever trying to vend at, dead shows. I was really excited. Didn't know what I was doing, but I figured it out. And day that I met you in person was actually my first day vending.
Wow. Well, you would have known it. You definitely had it. I think we had one item that we helped kind of figure out what the pricing would be. I'd say that was the only giveaway is you had prices for everything. And there was one thing that you looked at me and said, how much should I charge?
Well, it was definitely a figure it out as I went along, but I did. The friendships that I made this summer, it's kind of hard to separate them from Grateful Sweats because between Grateful Sweats and Roxalot, who were my friends Camel and Dave that were always right next door, they had the Please Be Kind flag, and Jake Root, who I think you're talking to later in this podcast, he would always tell people meet at the Be Kind flag. And so it was always convenient and it was fun and I got to meet a lot of people that, you know, had bought stuff from me online that I had never met before. I met people that I had, you know, become friends with in Facebook groups that I had never met before. And it's such a incredible phenomena to feel like you already know somebody because you've developed this relationship in a social media setting, and then you meet them for the first time, and it's like, I have so many brothers and sisters that I didn't even know a year ago, but today I consider them some of my closest friends, present company included.
Oh, it's so fucking awesome, and it's funny, again, thinking about when I met, hung out there, and I mean, most of the shows, I'm trying to think in general, I mean, you know, summer, it's hot as fuck out there, right? You have the, like, the big tent, and I'm a schlepper, I always got my bag and my stuff. From the first time we met, I remember being like, I'm going to just hang here for a minute, and then it was the greatest meeting spot, in addition to you, you know, you were so welcoming, come on in and put your stuff down, take a load off, and I love that, because, you know, it started with the Be Kind flag, and to me, kind of went into your booth.
I got really spoiled with my booth being the meeting place. So I was on tour for 8 shows, I think, or 9, through Atlanta, and then I went home for a while, and then I went back out on tour when the tour hit Blossom. And so I did Blossom and Alpine. Then I went back home until back out for Boulder. But I got really spoiled with my booth being the meeting place. And something really interesting that happened was at Alpine, they had made a big deal about no vending and, you know, they're going to give $1,000 tickets. And they had, like, little jailhouses set up at Alpine. And so I wasn't going to, like, even mess with that and, you know, take my chances. So the first night at Alpine, I, you know, just like the old days before I was a vendor, I showed up, I went, tried to find people to meet up with. It took a lot of time. Couldn't find everybody. It just wasn't as much fun. And so, of course, I wanted to vend because, you know, that's what I was doing out on tour. I was vending, but it was really the least fun I had of any show on tour was that first night at Alpine because I wasn't the place where everybody else would come to meet. It was a lot of effort. I just wasn't prepared for it. So then the next morning, before the second night at Alpine, I get up early every morning. So I was going to find some way to find a solution so that I knew I still wasn't going to vend. They did say that we were allowed to tailgate. I've done a lot of tailgating in my life, and I went to Walmart, and I bought all the things that I would need to throw a good tailgate party. And I put out on social media the Grateful Sweats is throwing a tailgate party on the lot at Alpine. Anybody tell your friends and come find Grateful Sweats and have a hamburger, a hot dog. I bought some beer. Everything was free. Said I can't vend, but I can certainly have a mobile marketing display where my products would be put up for people to view and they could come and hang out and socialize. If they want to buy something, they could go online. I handed out cards and they could buy something on my website. It was just a beautiful thing. Once again, I was the meeting place. Not only did I meet all my friends that need, you know, wanted a gathering place, but all these new people that found out about me just because, I decided to do that. And then like later on tour in Boulder, people would say, oh, I met you. You know, that was so nice of you to give stuff away at Alpine, and it was the best hamburger I've ever had. And so then they bought stuff from me at Boulder because they met me at Alpine. So that whole story is that I was meeting place again, and it was so much fun and another way to get around the rules to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish.
Oh, I think you did it brilliantly. I love that story. I did not know that. I love that you were able to do that and offer people a real good time and then still be able to say, hey, check this stuff out. You know, you've seen it. You've looked at it. And then as a consumer, it's probably almost, it's easier that way because you don't have to bring your stuff into the show. So it's perfect.
Well, again, for me, it was more about having fun and being the congregating place. And I'm a business person, so I always try and keep that in my mind. And if I wasn't on tour vending, I'm not at a place in my life where I could have just like dropped everything and gone on tour and been 20 years old again. For me to stay on tour, I've got to continue to be able to, you know, rationalize it in my life. So I do what I think combines, good business smarts with being able to put myself in a position to have a lot of fun and to be with the people that I love and to listen to the music that I love. And to me, it's all intertwined. It starts with the people and it starts with the friendships. And if it weren't for, well, I guess I first had the idea that I'd already started Grateful Sweats online, but when I went to the New Orleans makeup shows in February and Jake and I were walking around, and as soon as we got to Shakedown, I knew, okay, I need to do this. Walking that lot with Jake that day and like just meeting the vendors that we met and the friends that we met, and it just filled my head with, this is how I want to spend my summer. Now that I spent last summer doing it a little bit, I'm making plans to do more of it next summer and the summer after that. And, you know, I love the whole touring community and the whole jam band community, and I want to do more and meet more people and make more friends. And newly empty nester, it really fills my heart with excitement to think that that's going to be how I'm going to spend the next several years of my life.
What makes me so happy? It brought it to, you know, a different spoke. You know, the wheel went to a different spoke where it was a physical meeting place, but the same community meeting. Here we are, you know, strangers stopping strangers, back to a digital community. You know, the wheel is turned.
I was just thinking of that same lyric.
Oh, it's a lot to be grateful for. It's a lot to be grateful
for. It's blessed.
After a little bit of a rough patch these last few months, and I have to say, having the community, you know, we spoke about this earlier, just having this amazing, non-judgmental, open-minded, supportive community, supportive about just, you know, as long as you're kind and you show up, all that matters. Yeah, I mean, there's a renewed sense of gratefulness for that, knowing that more friends through this community than I can just recall, and, you know, and how lucky for that. How many people could say they've met more people that are supportive of all your crazy shit?
Agree.
Well, I want to get into some music. So we are going to play.
I love music.
Yeah, the music. Let's get to the core of the spoke of the wheel, the music. So you picked a song.
Well, I didn't pick the wheel, but after we've mentioned it two or three times in this chat, maybe I should have.
Well, you can.
But, no, I'm going to go with first answer.
Okay.
And so the song I picked was, Eyes of the World from the Atlanta show this summer. And I picked that show, you were at that show, and I remember, it was really great to chat with you in Atlanta after, you know, a few weeks had passed since I had met you first at Mansfield, and you had been in and out of tour, and I'd just been on tour the whole time. So the Atlanta show was going to be my last show of that first leg of the tour. When I went to the show, I had finished vending. I wasn't going to vend after the show. And so I was in a state of just like real relaxed enjoyment and feeling very fulfilled, kind of celebrating the joy and friendships that I've made, and of course a little sad because it was going to end temporarily for me for a while. I has always been one of my favorite songs, and I just think it's beautiful, and especially since Jeff's been part of the band, I love the keys that he brings to the song, and it's a moment that stands out during tour because I just felt such love at that moment, and thought, listen to that song and maybe feel a little of that love again, and hopefully your listeners can share in that a little bit.
Absolutely. Love it. Yeah, no, in my mind as we're talking, I'm putting myself right back into that little plan and transported me back.
Well, good. Mission accomplished then.
Yeah. And as anyone who's listening to this podcast knows that I can talk a dog off a wagon, so I'm not going to go into all of my feelings and thoughts of that moment. Because this could go from a 15-20 minute segment into a 45 real fucking clip. So awesome.
I can't wait to hear it all come together. I feel like now I'm going to be like in the soundproof room where the other two are going to get to talk now, and then I don't get to hear the whole story until you broadcast the whole edited podcast.
Yeah, we're going to weave it all together. And, you know, I always say, as long as you're enjoying it and I'm enjoying it, everything else is just gravy.
I always love talking to you, and so it's just another opportunity to do that.
Right on. Atlanta.
6818. Thank you. Thank you.
Hands and Sometimes we live no particular way. Sometimes we live in your country, we live in your homes. Sometimes we ride on your horses, sometimes we walk alone. Sometimes the songs that we sing are just songs of our own.
Welcome to Stranger Stopping Strangers.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be having this conversation. We're manifesting this, and it was kind of in the ether for a while now.
Yeah, it's been something we're looking forward to as well. I'm glad we could finally get to it.
Absolutely. Well, I talked to Steve. I'm gonna put these up in sequence of when we had the conversations. We talked a little bit about you, and in all, in the way that we're gonna get to hear it.
I know Steve well enough. I won't be surprised about anything I hear from him, probably.
Oh no, he speaks the world of you. The world of you.
Steve is an amazing man, so I'm not surprised.
Oh, lightness and love. Well, you first came into my world when I was following some of the streaming that you were doing in the fall of 2017. You know, you really kind of welcomed a lot of people into your home and into your world. You know, tell me a little bit about how that all got going, and I think you got busted too and redirected.
It definitely did get busted, and I definitely did get told to stop, which I definitely promptly did once I was told to. But we had a good run at it. It started in summer of 17. The 16 tour came up to Washington in the Gorge, but 17 summer did not. So I went down to Mountain View and the Bowl in summer 17. When I came back up to Seattle, I was so energized by what I was seeing from Dead & Co. that I just really wanted to get it out to everybody. And so on the big Dead & Co. Facebook site, I started posting. What I did is I would just buy the feed. I paid for each feed I ever showed. I do hold myself to that. I wasn't YouTube stealing or anything like that. But so I'd buy the feed, and like Facebook Live was kind of something that was somewhat new. It just kind of started coming out within like that year. So I just put it on my TV and I turned my phone around and went Facebook Live through the group, and it got big fast. And like all these people started seeing these shows that they didn't think they'd be able to see, and it blew up. And like we were getting towards the end, before we got told to shut down, I think we had 15,000 people viewing one show at one time.
Wow. I mean, that's full fucking viral. That is amazing. 15,000 people.
Yeah.
Imagine 15,000 people all in one room. Like how many people that would be? I mean, that's a venue, right?
Yeah, and that's why I was told to stop abruptly.
Fair enough.
And I haven't done it since. And they, you know, I think from what I found, it seems like everyone was pretty happy with how everything was. But that was what created some Facebook groups that have just been life-changing. I can't even fathom how different my life is just because I put out a live stream and with no intentions of anything. Like I didn't want anything. And the next thing I knew, they had all pooled money together to fly me to Chicago, like close out the show. And I met like a couple people from that streaming group. Like I went to Chicago not knowing anybody. I was there for 24 hours. Ended up being 36 because that was the first time I missed a flight, which is notorious for me. I've missed probably about 50% of my flights heading home now from shows.
There's always another flight.
I realize I just need to stop trying to push the flights out so early and just stay later. And then, cause it just happens that way anyway. To Chicago and met a man named Bruce Grossman who has now passed sadly. But he embraced me and another friend of mine, Ian Murphy. Those two, like, were the first two people I had met. I'm dancing to Dance in the Street on the second night of Chicago in Wrigley Field with people from Chicago, and all because I gave out, like, streams. And then come to find out that whole thing takes me into the fall, where I streamed in the fall and got, like, three or four in before we were told to shut down. But that's when a majority of everybody really got to know each other. That's when Brian Carpenter, Brian Lawrence, and Steve Dubinsky, and David Witt, Camel Cone, and the names go on and on. I'm just going to miss so many people. Over this last, from the tour of 2017 till today, I've met over 200 people. Had somebody I never met before put me up in their house, come from Myriad, pick me up, take me back to their house.
What's so cool, what you really started in the beginning is that it's so much more fun to watch a show when you are really commenting, watching, liking, chatting with other people as opposed to sitting by yourself. you know, like that, I feel like that is such a big part of what came about that you offered to everybody else, was you brought people into your home, which helped create a community that's so perpetuating.
Yeah, no, very much so. As was pointed out, that was pointed out to me by a couple of people as well. It's kind of funny, like the watch party thing had become an app now or something you can use on Facebook, and that wasn't there before. So he was kind of like commenting, joking, like, well, I started the watch parties, and I don't know what's true or what's not. I know that before I started doing this, I didn't hear anything about streams, and you didn't really see a whole lot about it. And then I know what a lot of people told me about was like, when I first started, I just turned the phone on and just, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear anything I said. And then like, there was one day where my daughter was over and you could hear our conversations in the background and it was making people laugh. And then like, I got excited about a song and then I just couldn't help it. I just me being me, I would just get excited about something or something happened. Or like one time the camera fell over and I'm running in there. And I'm like, not today, Satan. And like, I fixed it and like, get it real fast. And like, that became like a viral thing that everybody thought was so funny. And it's these little things of my enjoyment and my personality and my.
Well, your world. Yeah. I mean, you opened up, you shared your world, you know, world and your home and who you are. And I think that got everyone else to relate and excited to be able to share in the world and share with each other.
It definitely did. And what I care more about than anything, it got people excited in the dead again. Like I know specifically a very, very, very dear friend of mine that I met through this. They were never going to do anything Grateful Dead further, any outshoots of anything besides just Grateful Dead. And they heard me getting excited about it. And they're like, what's this guy getting all excited about? And then they went and listened to it and they got excited about it. And then they went to a show finally again. And now they're back into a culture that they never thought they'd ever be part of again. And that's been told to me from multiple people. And so that's what I love the most about it, is that the people were able to get enjoyment out of something they never thought they could, and they heard my enjoyment, which therefore sparked some enjoyment in them, and that's what drives me, and that's what makes me go out on tour now and like meet all these people and hang out with them and dance with them and share energy with them and just have an amazing experience. And the most amazing thing about this, that of all these people I've met, there is a very, very, very small percentage that turned out to be any kind of a bad person or any kind of like different than what they portray themselves to be, which is amazing to me. It's just like this internet thing that everyone at first was like, oh, it's just some internet thing. And it wasn't an internet thing. It was a Grateful Dead. It was a family thing. And it was very much always felt like that to me. But this last year, meeting you and meeting Steve and meeting Vicky, and I put my whole life out there, and I put maybe too much, maybe too little about some things, or maybe about my goods, maybe too much of my bad. I don't know, but it drew people into trusting me and trusting the group and then leaning on the group. And then when all of a sudden you're in a dire situation and the group helps you, that just makes it easier down the road for everybody else to know that that's there for them as well. And like I always said, like, I don't want it to be that I can go to 200 people's houses. I want it that anybody in our group can go to 200 people's houses and have a home and have a place to be. And that's kind of where I've always wanted things to be. And that's, I think it's just that people, they started trusting each other. And then when they started trusting each other, and then they went on a tour and then put a face to the hand and the hand to the face and felt the energy from everybody, then they knew it was real. And then from that point on, it's just been on like gangbusters. And it's nothing that's ever going to go away, I don't feel. I mean, like, even this is a community, this is a family that we've built. And it's funny because most of my family at this time doesn't talk to me. This is the family I chose, not the family I was forced upon. So it feels very genuine to me.
Well, I agree. And you know, our love will not fade away.
No, it won't.
You know, our love will not fade away for sure. No, I feel, again, really, really honored to be, you know, part of your community within the community. It's really special. And, you know, we met for the very first time, I want to say, in Atlanta.
Mansfield. Right?
Did we meet in Mansfield? We met in Mansfield, and then we hung in Atlanta, North Carolina. We caught all of those That little chunk.
I was a puddle of yes when I saw you in Mansfield. That was the day that me and Scott Nurberg came up with the idea that you just say yes to everything. Because to even say tell yourself to say no, you have to tell yourself yes to say no. So just say yes to begin with. And I think that's where my mindset was when I saw you in Mansfield, because I was having a great time. That we were ready to kick that show off. That was for sure.
God, that was so much fun. I mean, it feels like so many lifetimes ago, you know? Like
it does.
Like so many lifetimes ago. It was so much fun. Yeah, that, I think what I'm thinking about Atlanta, North Carolina, that was so special to me is it was the first time that I was ever in those cities, really. And it was really that American spirit that I hadn't really ignited, where it was flying, you know, to catch a show. And I stayed with Alicia and Christine. Hey, girl. And, we had so much fun. I mean, we'd never met before. And then that's where I met Sherry through, you know, your group. And my God, it was just so much fun. It means everything, you know, to have that community for the good things to laugh about and the sad things to cry about. I mean, it's kind of why we are all deadheads in the first place, you know, is to laugh and to cry and to sing and shake our bones.
I have, exactly. And you do all that. I mean, I've laughed, cried, and just loved all the same show with all of my friends there. And just like, it's so cathartic to have a family like this. And especially for a deadhead, because like, you know, deadheads we normally have some baggage to our life. We kind of like to have people around us that can understand us and that can understand our same kind of way of thinking and being. And I know for a fact that if I didn't have this community, I probably wouldn't be close to where I'm at in my life right now, because they have been here for me more than I could ever be there for them. They have all been here for me. And I will live most of my life always trying to make up for all the good they've done for me. That's something that I'm looking forward to for sure.
Well, so we always play some music here on the podcast, we being I. So I asked you to select a song. So tell me what your song is and a little bit about why you picked it, and then I'm going to go ahead and play for you.
All right. So I picked from the February show in NOLA, coming out of Feeling Like a Stranger into The Music Never Stops. I chose that because of a couple of reasons. I thought it was very fitting because song choice right after going into what some call the appendix tour, because Johnny, Music Never Stops, here we are getting it. And then also, that song is one of my most favorite songs in the world to dance to. And most people know that dancing is one of my most favorite things in the world to do. So any song that makes me want to move that much, it's going to be one of my favorite. That was like one of the first times I really got to meet one of my most, I met Steve for the first time, and Dick Carpenter and Brian at that show, and Brian Lawrence and Helena Cohn, and some people that became very, very important. And so like that song and that performance, that whole thing it just meant so much to me. So that's why I chose.
Right on. Well, we are going to go in and play from New Orleans in February 2018, The Music Never Stops.
All right. Sounds good. You know I will. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Seven weeks now, too hot to sleep now.
Well, Sherry, welcome. Straight to Stop Straight.
Hi, Stacey. How are you?
I'm good. Hi. We made it, girl. We made it on the phone. We did it. We're halfway there. So, my God, where did we begin? I mean, our friendship started about it almost a year ago, and then it burst into bloom this summer, and that's why I wanted to, you know, your conversation into this podcast, because that was my little theme. You know, I just, so many neat people, but you are just such an amazing presence from this past summer, and it wouldn't be a podcast without you.
Stacey, you're very sweet. Thank you. That's really nice. You know, I was thinking about how we initially met, and I think it happened when I first reached out to you after I found out ring about the Grateful Dead archives in Santa Cruz. The envelope, the fan art, the mail order envelope.
Yeah.
I think that's how we originally connected, because I was so blown away that I had envelopes in the archives that the Grateful Dead had saved my junk mail for, whatever, 28 years.
Oh, so amazing. Talking about last summer, I just have to make a mention, because this is just funny as fuck. You are at a work situation that required tickets, and you have to share with everybody, like, the of-the-moment situation. It's just so deadhead, it's so brilliant, it's so wonderful, and then I want to talk about, I don't know, like, how we met, like, all those crazy.
Okay, well, I won't disclose what kind of convention I'm at here in Las Vegas, but there are about 27,000 people attending, and yesterday, the admission is between $400 and $800 per person, and I don't have a ticket. I was here for a conference prior, and the company's actually holding an event tonight at the Mob Museum. So at any rate, they said, like, nobody can get in, security's really tight, et cetera, et cetera. Yesterday when I went there, I hung out for just a little while checking it out, and when I saw my opportunity, I took it. Lady stepped away from her post, and so, like a deadhead, I walked in right behind her and right into the trade show without any credentials. And my company was like, "How did you get in? How did you get in?" And I was like, "Well, I just walked in. I go to shows once in a while."
You've got the ways and means, girl. You got your ways.
Right. I waited for my opportunity, and I sprung on that opportunity and took advantage of it. So my roommate is like, "Man, I don't know, how am I going to get in today?" And because everyone's like, no one can get in. So I told her exactly what I did. And right during your first question, my phone rang, because she's like, "It took me a minute, but I got in." And I was so excited for her, because I'm sure she did exactly what I told her to do.
Fucking awesome. I can't even, you know what? I can't even tell you how much I relate to this conversation. You know, we get where we're supposed to be, you know, like, as deadheads, sometimes we're in the seats, and sometimes we're jamming right up front, but we're where we're supposed to be at all times, right?
I knew I was supposed to be inside. I couldn't levitate into the show, so I just took the opportunity and walked behind. Well, sometimes I swear I have levitated down to the floor at dead shows. You will it, and it will happen.
Oh, I mean, again, so fun. So, I guess, flashing back to just this past summer, which will bring us back to, oh, my God, the way we met. So, I just, so funny. Again, we should have a full podcast, because you and I could talk 4 hours, and you have, oh, I don't know, 35 years worth of stories? No. 40?
Yeah, something like that. Well,
yeah.
It was, I think one of the things that really put it in perspective is when this summer, it was the second show I saw this summer, after Riverbend in Cincinnati. I was at one of my favorite venues ever, Deer Creek, and you posted a picture that you thought just looked like fun.
Yeah, the Deer Creek. And then I had no idea that it was really so sad to so many, because it, you know, all of the bad shit that went on at that show.
But you know what? That was all, it was bad when it went down, but that's in the past. That shot says a lot, because it shows a lot of spirit about how bad people wanted to get in. What it didn't reflect is how much the scene had gotten out of control, and how much it had gotten away from being about the music with a lot of people. Not with me. It's always been about the music for me. But the scene had turned into a drug scene. And I wasn't really checked into it because I was working full time and I was a weekend warrior deadhead type. And I even remember I was unfortunately one of the people inside that when I saw the first person come over, I was cheering because I thought, cool, somebody got in that could get a ticket. And then more people came in and more people came in. And then I knew it wasn't the right thing. It wasn't cool, especially with bands. It disrupted their playing. And of course, we were shamed by the letter they put out the next day. Not only the canceling of the concert, but there were actually two letters the band put out to the fans. And it was very humiliating because I was one of the people that was cheering as people were coming in. We didn't realize there was a National Guard situation outside, that the fence was actually being ripped apart board by board. We thought a couple of people that didn't have tickets were getting into the show. Because that was our perspective until we saw that more than that was going on and the reaction of the band, which was not positive. But, I was definitely embarrassed and I felt responsible and I felt like they were talking directly to me when that letter was put out too, that we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Wow.
Or however it was worded. Well, that we were encouraging that kind of behavior. And, I think that in hindsight, they know more of what happened from our perspective, too, that we didn't know what was going on. We didn't have the same view and perspective as them, and we never would have cheered something on if we had known the full scope of it. But what happened and the outcome of it with the show being canceled was a rude awakening, and it was, well, it was a summer of hell is what that summer was. The whole tour part was really, it was a rough summer, 95.
Oh, to say the least. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, a rough summer that ended, you know, the roughest way possible for the band and the fans and everything. So,
in tragedy. And that's something that, I think that's something that brought us together too, is that we both stayed away from the music for so long. I mean, it was over 20 years before I came back.
No, me too. I mean, I was just thinking, I went to go see Darkstar Orchestra the other night. It had been, my kind of rebirth was at Dead & Company 3 years ago in 2015. And then I remember seeing Darkstar Orchestra a day apart from this one 2 years ago and kind of stood in the same spot right up there. The first time I was that close to a band. And then I thought about last year in November seeing Dead & Company and then being here today and how it seems so new, but it's already kind of a little journey, you know, as I was like dancing and looking back and thinking of, you know, the past three Novembers, but my goodness, there was a 20-something year old gap in between. So yeah, really grateful and completely relate on that level.
Absolutely. And I can't believe that I've only been back seeing Dead & Company. My first show was in Boulder in 2017. And I think I told you it was only half a show. Someone sent me this dream, a friend, and I had worked that day, and I was new to Fort Collins, just been there a few months, and didn't know anybody, and I didn't want to go to the show by myself, and, you know, all the blah, blah, blah. And, well, someone sent me this dream the day of the show. I completely forgot the show was going on. The first one was on a Friday, I believe, and I turned it on, and I think they started with Dancing in the Streets, and I'm like, what is going on? And Brown-Eyed Women not far behind. And when I saw John Mayer singing, I'm like, what am I doing? And I was in pretty much like dirty yard clothes, and I just left and watched the stream. It's about an hour, a little over hour drive to Boulder. Watched the stream en route part of it. They were on break. Got there. I wanted to buy a ticket for the next night, but they still had tickets available for the show. I bought a ticket for, and went in just for the second set, which, I mean, I was right back there in no time. I couldn't believe that I had been away 22 years. And since then, I've seen, I saw like 6 shows in the fall, and I did 3 appendix shows, and I think I did like 15 out of 25 in the summer, which is more shows than I've ever seen in a tour.
So fucking cool. I mean, you, when I think about the summer, when I think about the tour, when I think about, like, again, a beacon of, like, independence, you know, I was about to say female independence, but you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman on this one, like, human independence of, you were just out, I mean, when we met, I mean, you just went out on the road
and followed what was right for you by yourself with your mask out there. Like, I mean, just beyond everything that that the Deadhead community and touring represent. I mean, just so brave and met so many friends. And, yeah, like that's, again, why I couldn't talk about this past summer without talking to you, because you just...
You know, Stacey, the music filled my soul and brought me back to life in a way that I never thought imaginable.
Yeah, I mean, it's so special.
The music made me alive again, and when I see what John Mayer, who, you know, I'm a big fan of, I want to be his older sister, what he sent to Bobby to reignite his passion, and how many fans, the passion that has been brought back in people like you and me. There's something really, really special about it. And above all, it makes me feel like I'm really alive.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I could not feel the same exact way. And I think my favorite, like, analogy that...
you made it up, Stacey, I'm
now.
Sure, but we'll roll with it.
I don't know. I either heard it or I made it up. I don't really know. Still, I think it's... Whether it's my original saying or I borrowed it. I love the way of, like, thinking about when you have an older dog and you get a new puppy, you know, and, like, the older dog kind of springs back a little bit. You know, the puppy kind of chases it around, it bites its tail, and it ignites, like, some, you know, some extra energy. And that, to me, is, like, what a relationship with John and Bob, right? Like, Bob is kind of like, you know, like, you get the dogs, like, 9, 10, like, still running around doing his thing, down a little bit, get older, and you, like, release this puppy on it, you know? And that's just what I always think of, like, when I think of the relationship, my perspective of it, and watching him play, you know, like, with Johnny kind of chasing him around, and it revs it up, you know?
It absolutely, and there's something bigger than that you're talking about, too, and that's the whole transferring of energy and energizing each other, both the music, you know, the puppy obviously does it to the older dog, the energy that it brings back, but the personalities have done it to other artists, other creative people, and the music does it to us, the fans, and drives us in other directions that really enrich and fulfill our lives in a way that nothing else fills my soul like music. Nothing. There's nothing.
No, I mean, it's there for when you want to celebrate. It's there for when you want to cry. It's there for when you want to, you know, get it out, dance it out. It's there for everything. I have playlists for, you know, every type of mood, different musicians, different things. I mean, the Dead really are my go-to, but, you know, I mean, extending beyond, like, there's something for every situation, you know, and the lyrics are, you know, they're like religion, you know, I kind of refer to the annotations book as my Bible, you know, because like the lyrics really are my verses, you know, no matter what it is I'm looking for, there's something that is going to, you know, ease my soul a little bit, you know, whether, no matter what it is within that.
Or rock your soul.
Rock my soul.
Depends on if you want to ease your soul or rock your soul.
It could do it all, man. It could do it all. So I have to mention how we first met, and then because it's a 3-part podcast, to talk to you. You will be back when I...
Oh, my God. I just remembered the first time we met, and I know what's going to happen. Go for it.
No, we have to share the story. So I'm in Atlanta, and actually, I was just talking to Jake, and I mentioned Atlanta. I mentioned Christine. I mentioned Alicia. Hey. And, hey, girl. You're listening.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. And so I'm, like, waiting for those girls, and I see on Facebook that you're in Atlanta, and we had, at this point, been messaging with each other. And I said, you're in Atlanta. And you said, I'm in Atlanta. And you said, I'll be right there. And, okay, you take the wheel. Literally. You took the wheel from there. Tell the next leg.
I have to admit what I did. Okay, so I'm so excited. It's so excited to meet Stacey Smith. And discombobulated as usual. I got to the hotel where you were staying, and they weren't there yet, so you weren't checked in. It was a really nice Hilton. I think that's what was going on. So you said, let's go for a ride. I'm like, sure, get in. So I open up my door, and I'm sure things are falling on the ground, and I take everything in the front seat and throw it in the back of the 4Runner. And I didn't know what I did with my phone and my new prescription glasses when I got back in the car, because I was, like, so excited to meet you, and we were talking. And so he says, well, let's go over here. I don't know what we were trying to go do.
We had a little box, like, to see when Christine and Alicia came in. We had a little, like, temporary parking, because we couldn't park in the real parking, because we weren't checked in, and a bunch of bullshit.
Right. So when we pulled up to the temporary parking, there was, like, a gate down or something. Oh, crap, we can't go here. And I whipped to you, and I remember hearing things fly around, whatever. And I still couldn't find my phone and my glasses and whatever. Then we went back up to the front of the hotel. It was just right here. And pretty soon, oh, you're like, oh, there they are. There's Alicia and Christine. And Christine walks up to me, and we're like, she's like, well, we just found this phone and these glasses that were run over. And I think
and they ran them over
from there.
I think they were the ones who ran them over, right? Or did they find it already? I don't know. That
already run over. I think I may have run over them myself when they flew off the hood or wherever I left my new cell phone and new glasses.
And you're like, we have to find this woman, Sherry. I got a message from the Facebook Unfiltered group. It's her phone. Because remember, you got I think it was Brian Lee or somebody had, like, messaged you, like, your fucking phone.
No, I didn't have my phone. I didn't have my phone. Remember, it was broken. I think it was actually Barbara.
Yeah, so
they were putting a message. If anybody sees Sherry Gleason, somebody has her phone.
And then Christine handed it to you, and then we just, like, all laughed our asses off. That was
because she, right. Long and short of it is, I ran over my own brand new phone, my new glasses, which, by the way, weren't ruined because they were in the case, but I lost them somewhere between Raleigh and Hartford. I don't know where. They're long gone. Who needs to see anyway? It's overrated.
Way overrated. And then then we met up in Raleigh, and then we met up in Hartford, hung out with Darcy. Hey, who I was with.
Hi, Darcy.
And then Isis City, you skipped, and then we finished up, but you kept going. You went out west and the west coast, and then the gorge, all the off. And then our story ended in Colorado, where you live, and that was so fucking cool to be able to share that with you too.
And very, very bittersweet at the same time. But at least I got to meet your sister. I mean, it was the first time I met Michelle, who was so awesome, and your friend Kat, and your friend Kat from the Bay Area, and Dana from New York. She's from New York.
Connecticut. Yeah, Southern.
Do your hey there like you do.
Hey, Dana. Hey, Kat. Hi, girls. Hi, Michelle, most loyal listener of all time.
Love you, Michelle.
So much fun. I mean, that weekend was a lot. You know, when I go think back to it, I mean, that was like a sensory overload, but it was so good at the same time. Does that make sense? You know, like.
Absolutely. I'm in Vegas right now for a convention. Sensory Overload is my middle name. I was going to do something last night and the lights just threw me off. I just had to reel it in and stop. But tonight there's a bunch of events that I'm going to attend that I'm pretty excited about. It's right up our alley too. I can't wait to go to the Mob Museum for sure.
Well, that is like the organic way for us to close a conversation that could go on and on. And the last thing I want to talk about is the music. And we haven't picked the song, but we already talked a little bit about that. So, the song is going to be a surprise. So whatever comes out next, I kind of like that whole suspense thing.
But you know what? Stacey for sure is going to have Jerry playing on it. You know that for sure.
Oh yeah, Grateful Dead, and so you tell me a little bit about the venue, and it's going to be the Grateful Dead, and then we'll pick a year, and we'll pick a song.
Absolutely. The venue is Deer Creek, one of my favorites, and I think it was always one of the Grateful Dead's favorites, too. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I saw every show they played there from 89 through 95, and they did some great stuff there. They did a Close Encounters during drums and bass at one point. The venue had very nice sound, and I think it's very similar in construction to Shoreline in some ways. And they just really, always seemed to really like that venue. They played some fabulous shows there, unfortunately ending in tragedy, and the last scheduled show there was canceled. But at the same time, I think they took it to a whole nother level at some of those shows. Saw Brent play with them there, and he was on fire at times, of course. I remember Bobby doing an estimated. It wasn't quite the best spitting version, but it was an awesome version. And they just seemed to really always put out just a little bit more at that venue. It was one of those kinds of venues. And it was really special to me when I returned there to see Dead Company this summer, 22 years later, after Jerry had died, or 23 years later, actually. And you know what? They seemed to enjoy it just as much. And they put on a great show there. I loved the summer tour. I thought it was fabulous. And I can't wait to see them in Mexico.
No, that's like, what, less than 2 months away? I mean, actually, I think it's like 2 months to tomorrow, right? It's the 16th, I think we leave.
You're right.
We're on like countdown, like 61 days, 62 days.
And we need to give a Joe Riviera a shout out.
Oh, hey, I know.
He introduced me to three more people going to Mexico. Unfortunately, Joe's not going, but he introduced me to three great people that I met last weekend that are all going to Mexico. Three of his really good friends.
We are going to get ourselves a case of the Mexicali blues in 61 days. I'm so excited about it. Woohoo!
Absolutely. I am so excited about it, too. It's my first Mexico. It's your second. I had serious, serious case of feeling left out. What do they call that now?
FOMO.
Yeah, I had that going on big time last year. And then when the streams weren't working right, I mean, I thought I was going to have a complete meltdown back in, you know, Colorado. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So that won't happen this year. I'm going to be there in person.
I cannot wait. And as far as the song, you know, be surprised, everyone. It's going to be Grateful Dead from Dry Creek. And, again, it'll be on the post. It'll be on the blog. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Stacey, thank you so much for having me. And I'm just fine if the whole thing ends up on the cutting room floor.
Well, it's all and always for fun. And I have a gigantic smile on my face. So,
I do too. Thank you. You know what, Stacey Smith, your energy is awesome. And one of the things I love about you the most is how many people that you have brought together, including me, not just meeting you, but I've met all these great people through you, and you have done so much for our community as a whole in bringing people together. As you mentioned, I was out on summer tour with my own plan by myself, but I was never by myself because I know whenever I got near you, there was a whole bunch of people and people you introduced me to. And I really appreciate that. It's so great to really feel like part of a community and really, truly, authentically be excited and be in love with music. And it's something that we know we just keep, you can't fake it.
Okay.
I love you.
What?
I love you, Stacey Smith. You're
I
awesome.
I love you. Okay, bye.
Bye, have a good one.
We'll be right back. up to. Sky was yellow and the sun was blue. Strangers stopping the strangers, just a shake. Everybody's playing in the heart of gold.
Osiris.
This podcast is in the loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. What does that mean? Osiris is a community of great music and culture podcasts. If you like this one, go check out others at osirispod.com and get in the loop. Osiris is partnered with Relics Magazine at relics.com.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
I'm Larry Mishkin, and I'd like to invite you to join Rob Hunt and me on our weekly podcast, The Deadhead Cannabis Show. Each week, we explore the latest cannabis and jam band news and reminisce with other deadheads and jam band lovers about the great musical acts that we've seen and heard. Check out a new episode every Monday.